Hey, welcome back to another episode of Deeper Than Dough. Today I'm talking with Russ Warner, CEO of Ghost Longboards, who makes some of the coolest longboards you've ever seen. What started out as a hobby back in 2017 turned into a family-owned business that went viral in 2020, blowing up on TikTok and growing fast during the pandemic. In this episode, Russ shares what it's really like to turn a passion into a thriving business. We talk about launching products, listening to customers, and adapting to the market. He also drops some great advice for aspiring entrepreneurs on outworking the competition and creating fans who love what you do. Whether you're a skater or just someone with a dream, this episode has something for you. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Deeper Than Dough podcast. Super excited to have Russ Warner as my guest today. Russ, welcome.
Hey, thank you. I once was an old lady with smoking, and now I'm here and in real life as a man.
Russ is an old smoker in recovery right now. Came on the show just sounding terrible.
Here I am. Now, this is my real voice. I don't know what you're talking about, Bennett. You know, this is just the way it is if you smoke for 100 years. You know, the facial cream I use, it makes me look younger. I'm really 100. So, you know, if you want to join my workout, you know, group and use my face cream, it's amazing.
It's only $30 to join, and if you get two people, within 1 month,
it's the best MLM ever. So yeah, we'll get you. We're right here in Utah County, so here we go. Get this cream,
Russ. We met pretty recently. We're both here in Pleasant Grove, Utah, and your warehouse was a stone's throw away from where we produce our cookies. So
and we never ran into each other, and I never saw you flip me off while on the road, so I think we're good, so we could be friends.
We're good, we're still friends. I came and I checked out your spot just last week, and you guys had the coolest rail on the second story. You go out to this little balcony, and I haven't even asked you what you do yet, but I'm going to tell everybody: Ghost Longboards. So it's all these clear longboards with like custom prints on them that make up the rail. It is awesome. But with that, Russ, I'll let you introduce yourself. Give us a minute or two of your background.
Yeah, I'm a Ghost Board CEO and here in Pleasant Grove. So like Bennett said, we make clear custom longboards. This is what we do. And so this is my UFO right here. So yeah, he talks about my rail is, who needs a balcony in their office? I don't know. I don't know why I made a balcony. I thought it was to be like Michael Scott, get a big speaker and yell down at employees like, hey, get back to work, you know, or something like that. But yes, I do have a balcony with a railing of a bunch of longboards as the separators. So yeah, that's what we have. I love it.
How'd you make the longboard? What a fun world to be in. I just barely started getting back into it beginning of the summer. I bought an electric longboard, changed my life. I've had no joke over 100 meetings on my longboard. I'm always muting myself, and then I unmute myself to talk in a meeting, and they're like, oh, what's that background noise? I'm like, nothing. It's just the wind, because I'm going 20 miles an hour on my longboard while you idiots are on your computers. But how do you get the longboards?
So it was interesting. I was a skater as a kid, and I always loved skating. I still have my original skateboard. It's 40 years old, and it's sitting right back here behind me. I'll show it to you. So yeah, here. Great. Yeah, this is it. That's right there. The original skateboard. So as a skater, you know, you always think, what do you want to be when you grow up? And see, there you're going to say, oh, I want to be a doctor, a race car driver, astronaut. You know, I never thought skateboarding when I was 12 would actually become my career. I was always an entrepreneur, though. I think when it's in your blood, it's in your blood. Right, Bennett?
Oh, for sure. And then you can't stop, and it's addicting.
Yeah, it is. It's this weird addiction. It's like a video game of building a business and seeing it grow and seeing it expand. And so I got into this. I started getting old and fat and become this old lady voice. And I thought I should exercise and start doing something with my life. Because you start telling yourself when you're growing up and you tell all your kids and your wife, well, I'm working for you. And And I was on an airplane Tuesday to Fridays, and I was just a weekend dad. And I kept saying, I'm trying to climb this corporate ladder and do things. And I decided I need to start exercising. And that's really where this all stemmed from. And so going back to how the beginning of this, I bought a longboard on Amazon. I got it. And I looked at it. I'm like, oh my gosh, 40 years have gone by and they have not improved at all. Uh-huh. Everything was so bad about it. I mean, the wood was not good. The bearings were really bad and the trucks and wheels were terrible. So I was like, this is insane. So really our story is a little bit more unique. My neighbor, who's my partner, his name is Brent, and he was working for a company, and he had some plexiglass, and he cut the shape of a skateboard out of this plexiglass. Mm-hmm. And he brought it home and he gave it to his son, and his son put some wheels and trucks on it. And his son, his name's Eric, rode it over to my house. Okay. So his son was friends with my son. So all of a sudden I see this plexiglass longboard sitting out on my lawn burning, you know, the sun's going through it, just burning the imprint on my grass. I'm thinking, what is that? I'm like, that is so cool looking. Now going back, I've always thought clear things were cool. I'll tell you, my ultimate goal would make a clear car. I've always wanted to see like all the wires all through it and clear, you know, doors and clear ceiling and clear, you know, where your feet go. I thought it'd be really, really cool. So I saw that. I thought, that is so unique. So I jumped on it, took it for a ride up and down the street. And the flex was really a soft feel. It was softer than a stiff wood board. So I went back to my neighbor and I said, hey, Brent, I love that. Will you make me one? Mm-hmm. Well, he said no. So I was like, come on, really? You won't make me one of these? He goes, nope. So I asked him for 2 years if he'd make me one. He finally made me one. And so then I started going crazy with it, with how I can design it. I can do whatever I want. I bought all these different trucks and wheels. And I started finding everything that I wanted on it. So I bought like 50 different types of bearings, 20 different types of trucks and wheels. And I was putting on it like, okay, I'm going to make this how I want it to feel. And I started riding it. I thought, okay, this is fun. This gives me something now to do, to exercise, go out, run, you know, take my dog for a run. And I went back to Brent. I said, hey, why don't we sell these? And he told me no. So this went on for another 4 years. And I just kept bugging him. I go, come on, Brent, let's do it. So I went to him. I said, okay, Brent, I got a deal for you. I go, I noticed, you know, your car's getting a little bit older. Do you want a new car? How about I sell enough of these that you get $400 and I make $400? We both go get new cars. That was the goal of the company. Well, what he thought. I had a little bit bigger plans on this.
Wait, so, $400? How is he going to buy a car with $400?
You know, like a $400 car payment.
You know, $400 car payment. So $400 a month.
Yeah, yeah. I would sell enough longboards that he would make $400. I'd make $400 a month, and we could both go get a new car. He thought that sounded like a great idea. So I said, all right, done. So I ran home. I jumped on Shopify. I paid the $37. Hurry and made a website. He came up with 10 designs for the boards. And I launched this website. And I was like, all right, cool. And, you know, the first month I started just doing, you know, a little bit of social media, a little bit of marketing, and we started selling like 3 boards a month. We're like, sweet, you know, this is kind of cool. We're making a couple $100, not quite the $400. And eventually we got to doing about 10 boards a month, which kind of gave us this $400 that we're looking for. In the meantime, I kept buying more parts and more material and doing a little bit more marketing. And eventually we got to doing about 30 boards a month. And this was like 2017. And so we ended the year with making like $60,000. You know, it was kind of crazy, this part-time night job. And I was putting a lot of the money kind of back in the company of, you know, let's do some Google ads, let's do some Instagram. And at the going into the next year, we had a company come to us and said, hey, can you build us 150 boards with our logo on it? And I was like, yeah, of course we can.
I'll just figure out how to do it. Yes, we can.
Yeah, right? So I went back to Brent and said, hey, this is what we're doing. He's like, no, we can't do that. You know, and I go, yes, we can. And so we pulled it off and we had his whole family over in my living room, my whole family in my living room. And we put on a movie and we built these 150 boards just on a Saturday afternoon. And so we're like, hey, this works out pretty good. So we pulled that off and we got this check for like 15 grand. We're like, wow, this is really, really cool. And so I started buying more and more parts, you know, and doing a little bit more marketing. But we got to the point where we're starting to sell about 30, on average, about 30 boards a month. And Brent started to panic a little bit. He came over and goes, okay, Russ, I didn't want a second job. And he goes, I already have a job. I go to work and now you're taking up my lunch break, my before work, my after work. I'm not getting home till like 7 o'clock at night. And the way we were making these, we went to his company, they had all the machines, and we were paying them $5 a board to use their machines. And so he would do it before work, at lunch break, and after, and we just use everything at his work. And so at this point, we started trying to say, okay, what are we? And in my head, I was like, I think we have a product. I think we have something that people like. I think they think it's cool. And he was like, no, I don't want another job. So we were a little bit in this weird relationship as business partners, trying to figure out what do we do. So at this point, I said, we're just going to go for it. So we started selling more and more. And as time went on, all of a sudden, we went viral on TikTok. So I don't know if you've ever experienced what that even means, or you always hear about it, but you don't know how it happens. I still don't know how it happens. I think it's all kind of a
little bit of fairy dust and luck. Yeah.
Fairy dust. It's like pulling the, you know, the slot machine. All of a sudden you get three cherries. You're like, oh my gosh, this is weird. And at first I didn't know what happened. It's like all of a sudden we had like 600 orders come in one day. And I was just like, my phone, you know, if anyone's had a Shopify, you know, app on their phone, it goes ka-ching, 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 ka-ching. And it all day is going ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. I'm like, so Brent calls me from work and says, is something broken? Is there a virus? Is something wrong? And I'm like, I have no idea. But I go, isn't this the coolest thing ever? I'm just like watching these orders just come and go. And I was like, wow. And, so I'm doing the research of like, what just happened? And my daughter comes home from school, says, hey, Dad, did you see the TikTok? And I go, the tick what?
I knew about it before you did.
Yeah. And I was like, tick what? You know, I was like, I didn't even know what TikTok was. I'm like hurrying over to the app store, I'm downloading TikTok. And it said, you know, this is for kids only. Parents aren't allowed to be on TikTok and, you know, whatever. And so I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm not going to do any dances, you know, or to music. But so I find this girl, her name is Maddie in Ohio. She bought a longboard from us and she did a little video. She goes, hey guys, I just bought my new longboard from Ghost Longboards. I want to show you. It's got a butterfly design. Let me show you. It's my first time riding. I'm going to show you all about what this board is. That was it. It was a simple video. And the next day we had another like 500 orders. So this time we had like over 1,000 orders in 2 days. So Brent calls me again. Now this time he wasn't nice. He goes, you shut that website off right now. And I'm like, okay, okay, okay. He goes, we can't make 1,000 boards. And in my head, I was still laying la la land, you know, thinking this is the coolest thing in the world. You know, people, you know, are buying them. It's like, yeah, you know, just I didn't reality never set in with me of like, hey, how are we going to do this?
Yeah.
And I hurry and shut the site off. I'm like, okay, everything's sold out and people are still finding something to buy. Fast as I'm trying to close out everything, people are still buying. I'm like, stop for a minute. And so he comes over to my house and he goes, okay, Russ, what are we going to do? You know, how are we going to make, you know, this 1,000 boards? And we have all this money in the bank because people, the beauty of Shopify or our website is people give us their money first.
Yeah.
So we have all this money sitting in the bank. We're like, oh my gosh, let's figure out how to do this. Let's figure out how to pull this together and figure it out. So I called a friend in California. His name's Alan Wong, and he owned this skateboard distribution company. I would buy like trucks and wheels from him. And so I go, Alan, I'm in a bind. He goes, yeah, I saw. He goes, I'll help you out, but you ought to turn your website back on. People want to give you their money.
Yeah. And I'm like, that was the first thing I thought. I was like, Brent, as your business partner, you don't turn off your website if you're getting orders.
Yeah. So Alan's like, turn it back on. So I went back to Brent, and at first I went to my nephew and said, hey, Brendan, if you can cruise down to California, I'll give you $500. And if you can make it back in 24 hours, I'll give you a $500 bonus. I want you to fill up your truck with like as many trucks and wheels that you can fit in the back of your pickup truck. And he's like, done. He jumps in his truck with his wife and they take off to California. He sleeps for like 3 hours and that was it. So I talked to Brent and I go, let's try it. Let's flip on the website. Let's see what happens. So I flipped it back on and we sold $965,000 of boards in that month. So we have like almost $1 million sitting in the bank. And we're like, okay, if we don't start making these boards and shipping them, everybody's going to start asking for their money back. And so the real business all hit in our lap, like, oh my gosh, we don't even know what to do. And so we're like, but we have this money. Let's figure out how to get this off the ground. So we hired like 50 people in the neighborhood. So I had 3 pop-up tents in the driveway. I had 20 kids in the garage. I had 10 people around the kitchen table. I had people in the living room, people in the dining room. The house, if you could put 50 people in a house, we figured that out. And we had Domino's pizza delivered every day, Mountain Dew delivered every day. And we just went crazy on let's build all these boards. So at that time, everybody is in a panic of let's get them made, but also the panic of the customers, like, when am I going to get my order? So
what time zone are, I mean, what time frame are we talking? Like, they're typically getting their order in a week. Now, how long are they going to get their order in?
So I was backed up about 3 months now on orders. I mean, this time, I was like, I was answering 600 emails a night. I'd be up to like 2-3 a.m. saying, sorry, if your order number is between here and here, you'll get it this month. If it's between this, you'll get it next month. Like, we had like thousands and thousands of orders just kept coming in and they just kept piling up.
Did you experience a decent drop off from the people that did have to wait the few months? Like, was there a 20%?
I think a little bit. People that want it for a birthday or, you know, like that. I'm like, there's no way I can accommodate. There's no way I can figure that out. So we went up to scale. So I went and found, my wife went and found like 4 other machine shops. You know, there's one in Ogden, one in Pleasant Grove, one in American Fork. And we started going to all these different machine shops saying, hey, can we commit you to make 100 boards a day for us? Can we commit you to make 100 boards a day? So we started committing these other shops to help us to make like 400 boards a day. Well, I was trying to get wheels and trucks and bearings and answer emails and sit down with UPS and FedEx. They would come into my couch every single day and say, okay, let me teach you how to do a label to you know, whatever, Ukraine or the Philippines, or, I mean, it was, this was worldwide. We went everywhere.
And in the heat of this, I experienced something on a much smaller scale. Right when we opened up, I bought Dirty Dough, and then I'm like, okay, I want to open up one in California. So I opened up a commercial kitchen, hired 3 employees. We're not going to sell. I don't have money for marketing, whatever. And then you're like walking out there, and there's to deliver somebody's cookies, and there's 10 cars, and you're literally knocking on every single car's windows, because I never expected to have more than one order at a time. And then same thing, I was hiring nieces and nephews to come down from LA. My wife's mom was doing dishes for us. And it's like my 3 employees turned into a 15-man team just to survive the first weekend. And you're like, crap. So, but yours lasted for months. I was in it for a weekend, and then I hired more people.
Yeah, we couldn't hire fast enough and fix problems. I mean, we're meeting with attorneys. I had to start telling the 4-year-olds we couldn't pay them anymore with Venmo. And I'm like, I need a payroll service. Seriously, we were like Venmoing everybody. Like, okay, wait a minute. You know, we're not, we got to do this legal. Yep. We can't have all this child labor, because every kid in the neighborhood is like, here, I'll come over and help. We're like, I just need anything and anybody. I mean, we had moms and dads, and I didn't even know any of their names. I'm like, I don't know who you are, but sit there and put bearings and wheels. And I don't know what your name is, but put those wheels on the trucks keep the line moving. And then I figured out we didn't even have any rules for compliance. And I would get customers calling me saying, hey, Russ, I just received 14 boards. And I only ordered one. I'm like, what are you talking about? And I realized I'd have like 5 people around the kitchen table all printing labels, but they're all not coordinating who was printing what label.
And so there was no processes in place. And rewinding, what would you have done different? Like, what would it have been hiring, you know, an upper level management person to build that, or just spending, yeah. I mean, you don't have time, right? You don't have time to go do anything.
Later on, we started using our iPad for compliance. So any board that went, got shipped out, someone put their initials in there. Like, I inspected this board, I checked the label, fulfilled it in the iPad. So it, when another one come, that's how we stop people from getting 3 or 4 or 12 boards, you know, all shipped to the same person, the tracking number going there and who inspected it. So later on, yeah, we could have saved a lot of money and a lot of time by putting systems into place in the very, very beginning. So yeah. we were scrambling just out of the kitchen of like, how do we start sending out 6,000 boards a month? And that became, you know, chaos. And then my wife's like, okay, the business has got to get out of the house. So she's like, I'm getting you a warehouse. You're getting out of here. And because we can't even walk down the hallway without tripping over boards.
How long is this period? How long were you guys in your house from like video going viral till you felt like you had control?
So we moved, from going viral to getting a warehouse is probably like 2 months.
Okay, it was pretty quick, but two months is a long time for your wife to be like, was this worth it? Okay, so these 2 months, was it more, there's a lot of fun and excitement. You're checking bank accounts, you're getting the ka-ching sound on your phone all the time, but it's also extremely stressful. Talk to me about excitement/fun versus stress/what the hell am I doing?
Then COVID hit. And so we're trying to do this during COVID. And so we did like
during this two.
Yeah.
Period.
So COVID comes in and we did like 4.5 million in 6 months during COVID. So okay. We have people getting sick. You have masks. You have trying to figure out shipping with COVID. You're trying to get parts in during COVID, you know, which is really hard. People are like, oh, how are you getting wheels and trucks and bearings? And so I'm cleaning out even acrylic. We cleaned out. We were calling around the entire country like, all right, who in Chicago? How much acrylic do you have? We're like, we'll take it all. You know, calling Seattle. How much acrylic do you have? We'll take it all. And then after you've cleaned out the U.S., we're going to Mexico. How much acrylic do you have? We'll take it all. You know, I mean, you're going around and saying, I don't really care because we need to fulfill these orders. You didn't even care what you're paying for it at that time. So you're overpaying for everything, just trying to get on top and stop from drowning. So you're like, whatever, whatever that cost is, I'll pay because I need to fulfill these customers' orders.
Yeah.
So this time also you start going viral with more and more influencers reaching out to you. Like, hi, I'm an actor. I'm an actress. I'm a rock star. And you start getting all of these DMs and messages and your Instagram's blowing up and your email's blowing up and you're trying to figure out, okay, how do I keep track of influencers, what's going out? And still it was chaos. It was just strictly all chaos. So when people say, how do you run the business? Well, we'd open like at 6 a.m. and we would leave about 2 a.m. I had like three shifts of people. I'd have a morning shift, a day shift, and a night shift. And just everything running, machines running, shutting down 4 hours. Yeah.
So was it more fun or more stressful?
I was still having a lot of fun because it was this thing of becoming real. And I mean, stress was out the door. I mean, yes, there was more.
Was it the most stressful time in your life, you think?
Yeah, I think so, because my phone was...
I would imagine what else is going to be more stressful than that, right?
Yeah. I mean, you have your phone just blowing up. You have everything blowing up, and everybody's got my phone number. Everything had my phone number on it. The website, the business cards, everything. And so everybody's texting me and calling me, and you get the threats. Don't you ruin Christmas for me. You know, I'm like, I'm trying not to, you know, I promise. I mean, seriously, people just panic over
it's
this.
So like, funny. It's so silly how caught up we get.
Yeah.
I'm like in the galaxy that we're at, if I don't get this chunk of plastic delivered to my door by this date, you know,
yes,
the sun and the moon are not going to be happy. Oh, wait, no, actually, no, nothing changes.
Yep. And there is. There's the panic of Christmas, the panic of birthdays, the panic of getting orders correct, every little thing. And then you have the panic of just COVID overall, trying to control it. And, and you're spending money on things you shouldn't be spending money on, and you don't know where your money's going at this time. Yep. Because it's such a rush of, I don't know, we need a forklift. Go buy a forklift. I don't know, we need pallet. You know,
there's not processes because there's not time to put in processes. Man, I love this because I'm like, I was doing the same thing from you, you know, two warehouses down, going from 0 to 200 employees. I'm like, wait, I don't even, who are these people? I'm walking in there like, what position are you doing?
Yeah. And then you, especially when you get caught up, you're like, wait a minute, I don't need that many people for that. And what are you doing? And you start going through and you start cleaning up processes when you have the time. And I think that's when the real business starts, is when you can actually create the process. So I think when you start a business, there's either the guy that overthinks the business and never ever starts the business because he's trying to perfect it. And I think that's wrong. And let me give you an example even on that. So one of our original designs of a board was called the Epicenter. It's on our website. It's for sale. And it's my partner, Brent's, is his favorite design. Anytime he has a chance to make an Epicenter, it's his glory day. But what we realized, you know how many Epicenters I've sold out of the hundreds of thousands of boards? Maybe that many.
Right.
And what you learn is if you don't launch your business and listen to the customer, it doesn't really matter. So we actually, original 10 designs, we hardly ever sell. We started coming up with designs that the customers wanted. You know, they're like, hey, I want a dragon. I want a snake. I want a butterfly. I want a mermaid, you know, and all these things. So you start adjusting to, we adjusted to our customer because our concept is like build a bear, build a board. So everything that is custom made, we don't pre-make any boards at all. And I think that's what's been hard on our business is today, all of a sudden, whatever's ordered, then we go print that order, the packing list, then we go look at it, we make it, and then we design it, cut it, assemble it, and then ship it. We don't carry a bunch of product in our warehouse that's pre-made at all. We don't have inventory on our shelves. And, you know, most businesses, they get so caught up in never launching. Sometimes you got to launch and then you have to figure out what does your customer want and adjust your business to whatever your customer's needs are.
Completely agree. I mean, because you don't even know till you launch. So it's like, just get something out there, get the feedback, and keep going. So Russ, thanks for sharing everything that you've shared with us so far. The ups and the downs, it sounds super crazy. And I love how relatable, at least for me, it is. Last question for you. What's a piece of advice that you would give to someone that just started a business or is thinking about starting one?
Yeah. Outwork your competition and just go. Just launch, learn from your customers and create raving fans. Get people to love your product or your service and don't give up on it, on your dream.
I love it. Love it all. So Russ, what's the best way that people can connect with you, learn more about what you're doing, Ghost Boards, and check out those custom designs you guys do?
Yeah, ghostboards.com, or just come over and come say hi over here in Pleasant Grove.
Okay. Appreciate it. Thanks for jumping on, Russ.
Thanks, Bennett. That's-